The greatest adventure in your life is to live in a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Again, the reason for which God has created you is so that you may experience a loving, authentic, awesome personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So last Sunday, we talked about the topic of, well, if God cares for us, then how do we resist evil? How does God give us the power to overcome temptation and choose good over evil? Okay, and if you missed it, we have this sermon on our website. And next Sunday, we will deal with the topic of, well, since God cares for us, does God heal today? Does God heal us today? So that's next Sunday. This Sunday, today, we're going to deal with the topic of how does God guide us? Is God leading us, prompting us, helping us so that we make right choices in life? Let's face it, we are living in a time when we face multitude, all kinds of decisions that we have to make. There are small, there are big, some are habitual, some are unusual, some are important, some are unimportant, but nonetheless, we need guidance. I am sure that many of you have faced, or if you haven't, I'm sure you will, things like, I like this guy, I like this gal, but is he, is she the right person for the rest of my life? We wonder about that. We are intrigued, we are drawn, we are attracted, but we have to ask the question, is this the right person for the rest of my life? Is this Mr. Right? And how will you know if he is? Is this Mrs. Right? How will you know? What are the criteria? What are you looking for? These are important questions, and I'm sure that you would want to receive guidance and wisdom, advice from God. What about choosing decisions, things like school, which school to go to, which university? And if you go there, what will you study? What are your major, what is your major going to be? These are very, very important questions because you feel your future depends on that decision. What about employment? Are you happy where you are working right now? Or do you feel, I wish how it would feel if I went over to such and such? Do you feel that your passion and your gifts are being fully utilized in your work? Where you spend most of your days, at least 8 hours, that is if you're lazy, perhaps more. These are important questions. Lord, if you are there, God, if you care about me, will you lead and guide me choosing the right employment, right career choices? There are so many, so many decisions that we need to make. And I submit to you myself, I am not wise enough, I am not smart enough, I'm not experienced enough to make all the right choices. I rely on God daily, weekly in my life. Lord, God, my Father in heaven, captivate my attention and take me to the right path. Here is my sentence. The whole sermon can be summed up in one sentence, and it is this. God is guiding you today so that you may have a personal relationship with Him forever. God is leading and guiding you today so that you may enter into a personal relationship with Him forever. God cares. Here are the first three things that I want you to know. Number one, God promises to lead and guide you. God promises. He gives His good word, which we can trust, and He says, child, I promise to lead and guide you. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you, God says. I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. I just love the last phrase right there. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. This is a relationship communication here. He says, I love you, and that's why I want to guide you. I don't want you to fail. I don't want you to fall into traps or make wrong decisions. And therefore, my loving eye is upon you. It's an ongoing, constant engagement with God. God has promises. God has a plan for you. Number two, therefore, God has a good plan for your lives. Let's read Jeremiah 29. This was a memory verse for the month of January. So what if we try that without looking? Well, maybe not. Here we go. Let's read it together. This is from... I have a plan for you, declares the Lord, a plan to prosper you and bless you, a plan not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. Not only does God say, I have a plan for you, I will lead and guide you, but here is the goal. The goal is, I'm going to guide you to a better place. I have a plan for you. You may be confused. You may be unsure. You may be asking and wondering, but God says, I have a plan for you. And if you are following God, that plan is a better plan than the one that you have if you weren't following God. If you're in a relationship with God, he says, I am not only going to lead and guide you, but there's a better way, a better future, better relationship, better career, better choices, better life altogether. And third point is this. We need to consult God before making major decisions. I hope you take this advice seriously, because we want to learn from Jesus himself, the Son of God, God himself. And guess what he did? Before making his important decisions like choosing the 12, he went and prayed to God the Father all night long. Listen, Luke chapter 6. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray all by himself, to spend the entire night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. And this is why he did not pick Victor as a disciple. He picked Pete. He picked Andy. He picked James. Because he prayed to God the Father and saying, Lord, my Father, lead and guide me. Lead and guide me. Lead and guide me. So we need to consult God before making those important decisions. God is guiding you today so that you may have a personal relationship with him forever. To help you with this practical steps, I came up with an acronym. Now, I must give credit to Nikki Gumbel of Alpha Course, because some of this comes from him. Okay? The way God guides you is spelled G-U-I-D-E. That's how I spell the word guide, G-U-I-D-E. G stands for God's Word. U stands for unshakable spirit. I stands for insightful common sense. D stands for directional signs. E stands for encouraging wisdom. So these are really good practical principles from the Bible you can use and utilize in terms of finding out, discerning, oh, is that how God is leading and guiding me? So let's dive in. Number one, God's Word. This is, of the five, the most authoritative and most objective guidance. Let's read Psalm 119 together. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. God is saying, when you are unsure, when you're confused, all you need to do is come to me and find my will for you in my revealed word. That's the Bible, the Holy Scripture. Meaning, we don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder, what if is God? No. God has revealed, and this is what the theologians call, God's revealed, unveiled purpose and plan for you. Now, there are, I don't want to go there too much, there are unrevealed, that is, hidden will of God, okay? But that's not the topic for today, okay? On that note, friends, customarily, we have a time for Q&A following the sermon, because I was told that my sermons are very unclear. So you give me a second chance by texting in questions, okay? Now, I also found from you all that you really appreciate that. However, today we don't have time for the Q&A because of the Lord's Supper celebration. Here's what I'm asking you to do. John, could you put up the text phone number? Send in your questions. I will collect them and I will respond to them on Mosaic House Church Facebook group. Okay. Now, I don't know where the questions are coming from, meaning you are anonymous. I don't know who you are in terms of the questions. Send it in, and then I'm going to compile all of that and post my responses on Mosaic House Church Facebook group. When you go to Facebook, type the words mosaic house, one word, group, not the page, group. It's a closed group. I'm not much of a Facebooker, you can tell. Okay? But I will respond to your questions that way. All right. So God's word. God is leading and guiding us through his word. And here's a wonderful picture. God says to you, my word, the Bible, is a light, is a lamp unto your feet, and a light unto the path. Two images, right? Light, lamp unto your feet. You can only have about 3 feet diameter light with a lamp. Okay? And that's a beautiful picture of God saying, I am right with you. As if a father walking with a little child in a dark night, and he has a lamp, and he walks with the child holding hands. Come on, my son, my daughter, honey, walk with me here. Okay? So that's God's word leading, guiding us. At the same time, it shines like the headlights, the high beam of a very powerful vehicle onto your path, meaning it is directional. It is both present and immediate, and also at the same time, it is long haul and a long journey ahead God is revealing to you. And that's God's word, God's word. Listen, this is very important. Okay? God's word, the Bible, is first and foremost a love letter, and then only after that, secondarily, it's a guide manual. Let me repeat that. If you mix up the order, the chronology, it's not going to work for you. God's word, Bible, is first and foremost is a love letter to you, and only then can it function, work as a guide manual. So many people come to the Bible as a guide manual without having this love letter. They don't have a relationship with God. And this is perhaps some of you. If God's word, the Bible, is only a guide manual, you will not be able to decipher God's guidance for you. It first has become a love letter in which you say, oh my gosh, there is a God. Oh my gosh, not only that, he loves me. And he wants a relationship with me. When you have that relationship context, only then does the Bible make sense as a guide manual. So let me give you one example. All right, okay. Jesus stands at the door. This is the book of Revelation. He stands at the door and he's knocking on your heart. And he says, listen to me. Will you open the door for me? And if you open the door after you hear my voice, I will come in into your life and I will eat with you and I'll live with you and we will be together forever. And what's the picture? The picture is relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and that's very personal and practical. And only then the word of God becomes a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. God is guiding you so that you may have a personal relationship with him forever. So what does G stand for? Okay. The word guide is spelled G-U-I-D-E. G stands for God's word. Now here's U. U stands for unshakable spirit. Here's a really, really interesting passage in the book of Acts, okay? Unshakable spirit. Paul, the Apostle Paul, and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Interesting. Right there. Isn't it God's will that Paul went and preached Jesus Christ and the good news that he's alive to everyone? And the answer is yes. And he went. But what happened? The Holy Spirit kept them from going to a place in Asia. I don't want you to go there. Instead, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Now here comes the kicker. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, We got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. See, right there. Okay? It is an unshakable Holy Spirit leading and prompting Paul. And that is happening today. God is sending the Holy Spirit your way so that he may unshakably explain to you how God is leading and guiding you. Now, case in point. I'll give you one example. I was working in Michigan at a church when God revealed to my wife and me, I'm going to send you out. I'm going to start a new church. It'll be a new church plant. This church doesn't exist. It's not going to be a restart. It's going to be a brand new church. This church exists in the mind of God. So I am sending you out. Go. Being obedient, I began sending out resumes. I sent my resumes to the East Coast, starting with New York, Manhattan, Washington, D.C., Maryland, all the way. Okay, and also the West Coast, California, namely San Diego, San Francisco, San Jose. Okay, I sent about 25 resumes. Okay, for some reason, nothing was coming back, and I remember praying, God, you said go. You said you're going to start a new church, and nothing is happening. No one's calling me back. So where are you sending us, God? Every day I prayed, where are you sending us? What is your guidance? And one day I was reading the book of Exodus. Here's a text. God calls Moses. Moses, go to Pharaoh and bring my people out of the bondage of slavery. Go. You know what Moses said? No, God, I am not qualified. I am not ready. Send someone else. And then God says, listen, your brother Aaron is on his way and he's going to meet up with you at this mountain. Go and find him. He will help you. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit made it very clear. He said, Victor, stop asking God, where are you sending us? But do start asking, to whom are you sending us? I got people waiting for you. So don't start with the place, but start with what? People. Look for the people who will become your partners. And that's how we came to Edmonton. We didn't know a soul except one. That's Bruce Greeter, the pastor of the River Church. And he said, come and plant a church with us, and we're going to help you. So God's unshakable spirit is prompting you. Do you sense him today? Is the Holy Spirit quietly but undeniably speaking to you, leading and guiding you? G stands for God's Word. U stands for unshakable spirit. And 3, I stands for insightful common sense. And I love this. And you're going to love it too. Okay, this is Proverbs. Insightful common sense. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. For she is more, she means wisdom, common sense, is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. Here's what God is saying. God says, in the creation that I created, I have instilled common sense, insightful common sense, things that work in life. Look to those common senses to find my guidance and leading for you. For example, okay? God says in Proverbs chapter 30, ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. God is saying, hey, I'm going to lead and guide you, but learn from the ants. Work hard. Store away. Plan for the future. Become an ant. Don't become a sluggard. It's a common sense. That's what works. One more point. In terms of giving your love to someone else or having multiple partners, okay, I wonder, God, my girlfriend is okay, but I wonder if I should have another one on the side. Oh, God, my boyfriend is so cute. He has an awesome sense of humor, and he has a fine job. But I wonder if I could find another guy at the same time. Okay, God says, hey, go to the common sense. Here's what he says, Proverbs chapter 5. It's very sensual, erotic. Okay, you should read this in Hebrew. You'll be like blown away. Oh my gosh, that's in the Bible? Drink water from your own cistern. That's a metaphor. I can't tell you what this stands for, but listen. Drink water from your own cistern. Running water from your own well. The word well in Hebrew has multiple meanings. I can't tell you what they are. Okay? My son, be intoxicated. My son, why be intoxicated with another man's wife? Why embrace the bosom? That's a wrong translation. Why embrace the bosom or something else of another woman? Okay. Now that I have you going to different places, listen. Come back here. God guides us through the common sense. What works in life? And you can find these wisdom in God's creation. So, as God is leading and guiding you, G stands for God's Word, U stands for unshakable spirit, and I stands for insightful wisdom. And fourth, directional signs. Let's read Proverbs chapter 16 together. Okay. Number four, directional signs. In one voice. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. God guides us, simply put, by closing doors and opening new doors. As you go forward trusting God, God, I believe you are there, and I desire to enter into a personal relationship with you through Jesus Christ, and therefore, I'm going to put my trust in you, and I'm going to start walking, and you will close doors and open new doors. And this is a directional signs. Before we came to Edmonton, when I was sensing, is God calling me to become a church planter? I had a desire, but I wasn't sure. Okay? But all of a sudden, close friends of mine, like Dan, another pastor, he says, out of the blue, totally unsolicited, says, Victor, so when will you plant a church? Where did that come from? Hey, what you been smoking, man? Directional signs. And then Jeff. Again, without being asked from me or from anyone else, he says, Victor, have you ever, just out of curiosity, considered planting a new church on your own? Was Dan talking to you about this? Yeah. And every book that I read, you know, at the end of the cover, you do some personal application. Having read the content and the wisdom of this book, how shall I make applications? And every time, guess what? I say, what about planting a new church? Every conference I went to, when you come to the very end of it and you process, okay, out of this experience, what should I do? And every time, it's like, what if I plant a church? So the directional signs were there. Okay? Now, let me just add one last thing and then come to a conclusion here. So we moved to Edmonton, right? And then we needed to buy a house, obviously. And we told our realtor, Donna, we need a house. And this house needs to fulfill three functions. Number one, a home for my family. There are four of us. And number two, I need an office space. Okay. And number three, a venue for the new church. The church is going to meet in our home, okay? So find a house that's right for three purposes. And the first question that your realtor would ask you is, what is your budget? This is back in 2007. In Michigan, the housing market was icy cold, as in frozen. It was so cold. Conversely, the housing market in Edmonton back in 2007 was very hot. You can't even touch the thing. It was so hot. I remember reading a marquee sign in front of a 7-Eleven. It says $1,000 signing bonus at a 7-Eleven. That's how hot the market was. Okay? But we said, Donna, our budget is about, at the most, $200,000. The house that we sold was $130,000. The market was very, what? Cold. Okay? So Donna said, okay, $200, that's your budget. I got to find you a home that's going to be a home for your house, a family, your office space, and a meeting venue for the new church. Okay, so she shows us 40 homes. None of them was big enough. It was like this big. Donna, I know you're working hard for us, but please, please, we need a house that's going to meet these criteria. She showed us 40 more homes. We've looked at 80 homes in Edmonton. She was about to kill me. Huh? And we were all this time, okay, God, lead and guide us, lead and guide us. We know we are here because you sent us here, and then you said you will take care of us, so we need a house. Then a godly woman said, Pastor Victor, I wonder if you're doing this all wrong. What if you began with, Donna, find a right house. Don't forget, don't worry about the budget, because it ain't going to happen. With the budget that we have, you can't find the right home. So why don't you just trust God, Pastor Victor, and ask Donna to find the right home and see what God does. Directional sign. Okay? Okay. You know something I don't, huh? So we called on Donna, forget the budget, find the right home. Well, she did. It was a spacious home, had a dining room that can be converted into my office space. And the concept of the house was open space concept, you know, no walls between the kitchen and the living rooms. It was spacious. We thought, hey, we could do church here. The only problem was the house was out of our budget, right? And then all of a sudden, I was preaching at a church. This is before we began Mosaic House Church, so I was free to go and preach. So I went to this church, old church. And I said, God sent us here. We're going to start a new church. Genesis 12, God called Abraham and blah, 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 blah. And here we are. Praise God. Amen. Boom. A man comes to me after the service. He says, his name's Mark. Hey, can I make a donation for your church plant? Okay. I said, sure. So he hands me a check. And I say, thank you, Mark. God bless you. And I'm walking away, and I look at the check. I say, hey, Mark, I think you may have made a mistake. There's one too many zero, perhaps. Okay, it was a $10,000 check. And Mark wasn't even a Christian. Okay? No, that's the right figure. Really? He said, yeah. Listen, we haven't begun the church yet, but can I use this to buy a house that's going to serve the church? Oh, and by the way, because church hasn't begun, we can't write you a tax receipt either. He said, well, that's fine. Use it as you see fit. So $10,000 from a non-believer for the new church plan, and then another partner came along, said, hey, we'll put $70,000 as a down payment for you, as a loan. Okay? Praise the Lord, people. And that's how Mosaic Church began, in our living room. Some of you have been there. Many of you have been there. We began as a house church. So God leads and guides by G. You, I, and directional signs. And last one, E, encouraging advice. Encouraging advice. This is Proverbs chapter 15. I'll make it short. Let's read it together. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. They succeed. Friends, this is no brainer. You ain't smart enough. I am not experienced enough, and all of us, none of us is wise enough to make the right choice on our own. We need to be humble, seek counsel. But here's the thing. People give wrong advices, don't they? People give poor advices. You got to find the right source. People who are mature, people who are godly, people who are ahead of you, people who can gather information and decipher for on your behalf. Saying, we believe, knowing who you are, where God has brought you, we believe the right thing, the wiser thing for you to do is A, not B. Friends, remember this. God is guiding you today so that you may enter into a personal relationship with God forever. And that's the thing. In conclusion, okay? Let me connect this with Jesus Christ. God is only able to guide us because Jesus Christ paid the price for us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God's own Son, He was led out of heaven. He was led out. He was pushed out, and He volunteered. Father, send me to the world. Lead and guide me to the cross. Lead me to a place of torment and destruction. Send me to hell so that you may guide my friends. Friends, it's a substitution. Jesus was led out into a horrible place, the cross and hell, so that God may lead you and guide you into a loving relationship. In conclusion, what is God guiding you to do? It's obvious. He wants a relationship. Friends, if you have not been baptized, but if you were as a baby, but if you haven't made your profession of faith or confirmation, okay, God is calling you. Hey, make it public. Declare to everyone that I love you and that you love me. It's a relationship first and foremost. And second, whatever you are struggling with in terms of guidance, take it before the Lord. Utilize those five letters, the acronym GUIDE, and seek God's counsel. God cares for you. God loves you. Would you please close your eyes and let's pray together as we conclude. I want you to remember those three questions. Having heard from God's word, what does God want you to know today? What does God want you to understand? That God loves you, that God has a plan for you, that God is going to lead every step of the way, that His word will be like a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And number two, what does God want you to feel? Does He want you to feel accepted by His love? Does He want you to feel confident and bold in taking steps as you go forward because God cares and He is leading and guiding you? And lastly, what does God want you to do? There's an action here, friends. There's an action. God is leading and guiding you to do something today. Perhaps it's checking out, exploring your baptism class. Perhaps trusting God and making that hard decision you've been thinking about. Or perhaps it's seeking counsel from wise people. Whatever that may be, let's just spend the time to answer those three questions. What does God want you to know, feel, and do? And then I'll conclude. Lord Jesus, here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all. Would you please find me here? Lord, as you draw me near, we are desperate for you. We surrender. We surrender. Lead and guide us now, because we hunger and thirst after your guidance. In the name of Christ, we pray. And everyone said together, Amen.